Welcome to this week's episode of our unnamed podcast. We'll find a name for it soon. Thank you for joining us. Week three had many, many exciting things happening and bad things. So I'll start off by talking about the Jimmy G injury, guys. Jimmy Garoppolo recently, well, not recently, but acquired by the 49ers last season, coming from the Patriots. He started off fine. He, you know, you saw potential in the 49ers team, and they got, and then now he's had all offseason to work with Kyle Shanahan, who, you know, two years ago led that Falcons offense to be one of the best the NFL has seen in recent history. So there's a lot of excitement in Jimmy G. And I mean, this season he's kind of struggled, and but you know, this is just a bad injury for the 49ers. They lost Jerick McKinnon, who they signed in the offseason. Now they signed their lost their franchise quarterback. Now they're going to be bad again like last season. So I'm worried.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. They weren't looking too great with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, now they're officially done. Like, they're done. Their season's over, but I couldn't really see them going to the playoffs with Jimmy Garoppolo anyways. But, of course, it's always a massive blow to lose your quarterback, and he's going to lose all that time with his team. So it's going to be tough to see. And yeah. If you tear your ACL, you're more likely to tear it again in the future. And, of course, it was a stupid play. I don't know why he didn't get out of bounds. That, like, you had, five Chiefs players around you? Oh, let me cut back in. No. You need to get out of bounds.
So we should at least set it up explaining. So the 49ers were down big the whole game. Pat Mahomes just bawling like crazy, you know, continuing to put up crazy numbers. The Chiefs offense just scoring at crazy rates.
At will.
So, I mean, they had to catch up somehow. And, you know, usually a quarterback tries to make plays to help his team. And it would just seem like a bad idea. He could have just ran it out of bounds. But, yeah, like you said, he decided to cut in and he got hit. And the 49ers, I remember seeing, like, 49ers fear, you know, that the injury is going to be season-long. And Monday they confirmed it. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't say – because, you were saying, the 49ers weren't really doing much. But I think it's a big loss because I feel like we were all excited to see what Jimmy G could do. You know, now leaving New England, he could finally, you know, we saw what he did with New England in San Francisco last season. It was exciting to see. And with a offensive coordinator like Shanahan, it just seemed like, you know, he had a lot of potential. So it's a shame that we have to wait till next season to see how good Jimmy G really is. So, yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Okay, well, I feel like
what about
we shouldn't have started on a bad note. We should have started with the Browns winning their first game.
Hey, it's okay. Bad news first, then happy news, and then more bad news.
We're all pessimists, so.
But back to the Browns. Okay. That game was a fun game to watch. Normally, like, when you see Jets Browns, you don't want to watch that game. You don't think of an exciting game. But I was captivated the whole time. Of course,
speak for yourself.
Tyrod Taylor, the first half, wasn't doing that great. Yeah,
I don't know. Captivated's the right word. The whole time, that first half nearly put me to bed. Yeah. But
well, look, I was gonna watch the game anyways. Going into this game, I was thinking that, you know, this is the Browns' chance to win a game. I was intrigued, and I did not expect Tyrod Taylor to shit the bed like he did.
But hey,
so
the moment they took him out and put in Baker Mayfield, the game completely changed. The Browns offense looked completely different. And of course, he went 7 for 13, 201 yards, like, and that's in what, a half of football? That's pretty good.
Did you say 7 for 13? Because it's, oh, you said in that first half. I'm sorry. I was gonna say, like, the whole game he threw a lot more than 13 passes.
Did I say 13? I'm sorry. I thought I said 17 or 23.
No, he went 17 to 23.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, he played a great game. And of course, he led them back from being down 14 points. So
just to explain, like, Tyrod Taylor at that point had gone 4 for 14, 19 yards, had been sacked 3 times. He just looked lost out there. it was not good. And then the concussion and in quotes, concussion, he's still, you know, in the concussion protocol. He might still have a in quote concussion, if you guys get what I'm saying. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
So, but no, yeah, Hayden, that when Baker got in, man, you just felt the electricity. His first pass was just a laser beam to, I don't remember who it was, but it was just a laser beam, and you just felt the excitement of, and I mean, that whole offense just looked so good. Carlos Hyde played well. Jarvis Landry was playing well.
He put a brand new energy, a whole new energy into their team, even their defense, because their defense stepped up tremendously too.
Well, their defense has been solid this season.
I know, but like they allowed 14 in the first half and only 3 in the second. So I mean, watching the game, their defense definitely looked better in the second half too. I don't know if it was just adjustments or, but I mean, I have to say some of it had to be Mayfield giving them a chance.
Look, I thought that maybe Tyrod would be able to keep Baker off the field this season, but you know, the first 2 weeks the offense was struggling. You just needed to make a change at that point. The offense was just stagnant, and
I mean,
yeah, with Baker they just look completely different.
If the Browns had a kicker, they could be 3-0 right now, which is crazy to think. Only we had a kicker.
Think about it. 635 days without a win.
It's crazy.
Couldn't be my team.
Yeah.
But
I'm a Patriots fan.
No. Hey, we've lost 2 in a row. We have a worse record than the Browns.
And the Panthers. Don't forget.
Hey.
You got a worse record than most.
You're gonna have a worse than later. Hey, y'all beat the Bengals, so now they're for sure number one in after a brief hiatus at from the one spot being put down at 2 because they lost to the Falcons. They go back to the one spot.
They beat the Bengals. They weren't even on my last rankings.
Whatever you say.
I don't know. This whole Browns thing for me, it was just a matter of time until Baker went in. Like, Tyrod wasn't going to hold off Baker forever. So they were either going to win this game or they were going to win whenever Baker came in.
Yeah. It was,
part of this loss is on Sam Darnold. He played like garbage.
Yeah, he struggled. In the beginning, he was doing fine.
Not really.
The Browns' defense just... Well, he was putting up points.
I think Crowell was putting up points.
Well, he didn't put up points, but yeah, Crowell did have 2 touchdowns against his former team. And a nice little celebration.
He's throwing too many passes to the Browns, especially at the end.
Like I said, Isaiah Crowell had a nice little celebration there that caught that almost got him kicked out.
Yeah, that was kind of crude.
But yeah, it was a crazy night for Cleveland. They finally got to open up the Bud Light fridge.
Fridges.
And then, did I say fridge or bridge? I feel like I said bridge.
You said fridge.
Okay, good. I don't know why. I just for some reason thought I said bridge. But yeah, the fridges throughout the town. And so I think also to mention, it was a crazy night for Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
It was his birthday.
His kid was born.
His child. Yeah. He was late to pregame warm-ups because his wife was giving birth. And then he left the game. Made it in time to see his child be born, but a solid game for him, 23-for-98 with 2 touchdowns, and all around just exciting night for Cleveland, an exciting time, and I think that this will not be their only win.
No, it won't.
Next, they get the Raiders, who are 0-3, who are also
Browns might go on a winning streak for the first time in forever.
Well, they play Raiders next, then the Ravens. I think that the Ravens is I'd project them to lose, but
do I hear 3-1-1?
I hear division champs.
Oh yikes!
I'm kidding.
I think I need to reiterate how bad Sam Darnold was in that game. He was awful.
All right, so Nick, how about your story? Or what was your biggest story?
For me, it's the roughing the passer penalties taking over the weekend again.
What are you talking about, man? The NFL is more safe because of it.
NFL is not the National Football League anymore.
Literally, the worst one was in the game last night where Big Ben got tapped on the head flop
oh,
and
then
fell
just
down.
falls
They call
over.
a 15-yard penalty. What?
That was the most roughing the passer calls in that game for over a decade. It's six.
Yes. Yeah, there's a tweet that said, warning graphic, scary stuff as Big Ben goes down. Nah, it's been rough, man. Roughing the passer calls have just been a huge problem.
It, I understand what they want to do, but they want to try and protect quarterbacks because they're vulnerable in football.
Well, actually,
but...
I heard...
No, and,
hold
I,
on, hold on,
and
no.
I get it. I mean...
I heard this actually isn't a new rule. It's a 25-year-old rule that they just enforce more strictly because some teams were complaining about it, which is crazy to think. But this rule has actually been there for 25 years.
I'm not talking about the whole this whole body weight thing. I'm just talking about the frequency that they're calling roughing the passer.
Well, that's part
Look,
of it.
Hayden, the only two teams if I was the Panthers or the Seahawks, I'd be complaining like crazy because one team has a trash O-line. The other one doesn't have a great O-line, but their quarterback is bigger than basically everybody else on the field that's not a lineman, so he could take shots.
I mean, to be honest, like, I just hope they don't take it a step further, though, because since Cam Newton can run the ball and I'm a Panthers fan, I don't want them to be like, oh, two-hand touch the quarterback, because that would completely ruin the game for running quarterbacks. That would make me mad if they did that.
Then Tyrod Taylor would be completely useless.
It gets to a point where the NFL is just getting in their own way with this.
Yeah, and
there's a difference between having a safe game and having like a logical game. Like the NFL is not meant
but
to be a safe
at the end
game.
Of the
you've got 200, 300 pound men trying to put each other on the ground. It's not safe. You can't really make that safe.
You want to make a safe blood sport, basically.
That's kind of an oxymoron, though. You can't. There's no such thing.
I get. Yeah. I mean, look, you can try to regulate what goes on, like how they made rules with quarterbacks. Like you can't hit in the helmet. You can't hit him in the helmet. You can't go below the knee. I get all that, but you have defensive players now getting affected by some of these safety. By some
of
these,
you've got Falcons players who are afraid to go and hit Drew Brees in the open field because they don't want to get penalized.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I
mean, you just Star, there's you a, the Miami Dolphins. Oh.
I just think that's an excuse. I really don't believe that. It's obvious you can tackle the quarterback in the open field and not get a flag. Even I know that.
Look, here's the thing, right? So here's a tweet by a guy named Cameron Wolf that has to do with an injury with this roughing the passer call. So Dolphins D lineman William Hayes tore his ACL. He's out for the season.
Yeah.
It happened when he tried not to put his body weight on Derek Carr while sacking him and got his foot caught in the ground. That's them trying to avoid these calls is starting to affect their safety and their health.
But the NFL, I guarantee you, they don't care. It's all about the quarterback.
Like, I don't know who was saying it, but I think I was watching ESPN, and they're saying, you know, D linemen now, like Khalil Mack and Von Miller, you're starting to see them go for the ball now because they can't. There's not much they can do to the quarterback. And Khalil Mack's being successful.
Yeah.
But, you know, not every single lineman is like that. But the fact that you have just injuries, there's been more quarterbacks injured, more D linemen injured this year by roughing the passer than you have. By quarterbacks, then you have quarterbacks getting injured.
Yeah.
So
I think part of this seems like... maybe to protect the quarterback. I mean, the NFL lives off good quarterbacks. That's how a lot of the ratings come.
Well, yeah, they need offense.
You don't want all your good quarterbacks getting hurt, kind of like what happened last year. Yeah, not really. Like
one of the biggest components for like one of the biggest things for the NFL is fantasy football. And if you know your offense isn't producing numbers, not many people want. Will care. So I see why are they trying to protect some players, but are they trying to protect quarterbacks? But at the same time, if it's getting in the way of
it's gotten extreme
other players,
too much now.
Was this really an issue until Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone twice? Because other quarterbacks weren't really getting hurt because of the
No, they're not.
It
no,
was just
no,
like but, Aaron Rodgers is the only one saying. I can like, really it was, think of. But of course, Aaron Rodgers goes down.
But it's a free. It's
just
a
like
once...
what happened with Tom Brady.
Well, hang on.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay. Hold up. Hold
yeah,
up.
You
hold
can't
up.
Single out Aaron Rodgers.
Wow,
for this.
Wow.
You can't hit people low because of Tom Brady. It kind of Joe Theismann.
Literally,
oh, yeah.
the season after
injury,
Tom Brady
still,
got hurt, they changed
Theismann's
that rule.
Injury might be.
Yeah.
Hold up. Theismann's injury might be one of the most disgusting of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. But I mean,
but
I don't
look.
I didn't see any other quarterbacks
hey,
get injured.
I'm
because
sorry.
Of that.
Hey,
I only saw
I'm
Aaron
sorry
Rodgers.
That your player. Hey, your quarterback hasn't been hurt.
Well, hey,
so you be quiet.
What do you want? Like, they develop rules when the new ones aren't. They don't think are sufficient enough. Like they said, made face masking a penalty when Night Train Lane was running around trying to break people's necks. Like you have to make,
like,
you have
I can
to make new rules based on these kind of things, whether they like deserve it or
no,
not. That's what the NFL does.
It's literally, it was just one player.
Okay, and it was just one player that got hurt, and now you can't hit low.
And I don't think.
Hey,
I
agree with that rule. I also wanted to bring back the tuck rule, but that's
yeah,
just
shut up.
I don't know. I just don't think you should change the league because of two players, and you see how it's impacting.
Well, you shouldn't. Yeah, it's overreacting, but just like we can do to stop them. It definitely shouldn't be a
no,
new
but
rule.
I do think look, quarterback safety is important. You want to make it safe for everybody, even though it's a sport where you sign up, you know what you're getting into. You don't get into the NFL unless you're a kicker.
Yeah.
Like if you're a kicker or the person who holds the ball for kicks.
A punter?
Is that the punter?
It's either the punter or the back of QB. Oh, God.
All right. I'm sorry. If you're a kicker, you're not really expecting to get hurt if you're a place kicker. If you're an actual kicker, you're going to go for tackles occasionally. Or to Pat McAfee. They use a punter. But you guys get what I'm saying. I understand why they want to make the NFL safe, but
yeah, they're trying to protect
you
the stars.
You can't make the NFL safe. That's the
yeah,
thing.
The safety of like trying to make it safe for quarterbacks is now affecting the ability of a D lineman because now they have to do like it. Just seems it's so inconvenient for D linemen now because like you have hits like
it's inconvenient for everybody.
Like I want to say it was Clay Matthews where like
which time
last week where Kirk Cousins had already thrown the ball and Clay Matthews was already there like Clay Matthews had, I mean Kirk Cousins had just let go of the ball and Clay Matthews like there was no way he could avoid that hit.
Well, it wasn't the hit that was flagged. It was
it's
he landed on him. Yeah, it was
yeah.
He landed on him with his body weight. Like you're already forcing him to do enough to trying to like get the one little spot where they can actually hit a quarterback. Now you're asking for them to not land on the quarterback.
Which I feel it can be hard.
It's almost to the point, like, scenarios. If you've got a like, if you're on a third down as a coordinator, you would usually send pressure. But at this point, would you? Because you're likely to get a penalty on you if you do.
I don't know. I thought that the tackles, you remember how like in the preseason they were calling penalties on like some of the tackles being made. I thought that would be a bigger story than roughing the passer.
Yeah,
but
I did too, but you know, it's whatever. I mean, hopefully they come to their senses, but I doubt they will.
They're not going to. They've already tried to stick to their guns on this more than once, so.
Well, no, there was. I read somewhere Goodell and the league were going to start looking into the roughing the passer calls. They don't think that like the rules committee's meeting like next week. They don't think they're going to change anything this season, but they will look into it more. That's at least what I read.
How many teams have had roughing the passer penalties? I actually don't think the Panthers have because I've watched all their games. But
I know the Pittsburgh
they're
leads
probably
the
minority on that
in roughing the passer.
Mm-hmm. Probably because of last night's game. But yeah.
So Clay Matthews this season has had three roughing the passer calls or penalties on him.
His own, yeah.
And in his previous, seasons, and from 2009 to 2017 combined, he had 4. This is provided by ESPN Stats and Info.
Wow.
And then last night, there were four roughing the passer penalties, and that was the most in a single game since 2001. Or no, that's highs, a number.
Still.
So it's.
So yeah, well, this rules. I did find a stat, based on the quarterbacks I've gotten roughed the most. Ryan Fitzpatrick is number 1 with 6, but 4 of those are from last night.
Does it say? Does have anyone else on there of note?
He's got every quarterback that's played 40 games in the last few years.
Oh, this
most quarterbacks years, haven't gotten roughed yet. So far, there's Fitzpatrick has gotten hit 6 times. Matt Ryan once, Cam Newton once, Aaron Rodgers once, Alex Smith once, Roethlisberger 3 times, Andrew Luck 3 times, Kirk Cousins twice. Both of those in the Packers game. Andy Dalton's gotten hit once. So far, there's been 25 roughing the passer calls in the first 3 weeks.
Dang. That's pretty crazy.
For reference, that's the highest season-wise since 2009 has been 89. So they're well on their way to beating that.
How many do they have so far?
They have 25 in the first 3 weeks, and the record for a season is 89.
So
they're on the fast track to beating that.
Yeah, they're literal. Yeah, they're gonna.
They may have
at this rate
triple digit roughing the passer.
Now I do want to see this week what they end up doing with all the pressure that's being placed on roughing the passer. But
I'll tell you what they're gonna do. Nothing. It's the NFL. They don't change.
So, guys, what's the game you want to talk about the most? Nick? What? Oh, wait, fuck. Was it Hayden?
No. Oh, my God. I don't want to go first.
Aren't you? Wait, who's the one supposed to go first?
Hang on. I will start. I will start. I'm going to count down from 5. We will start then.
No. We'll go Hayden because he.
I will start. Shut the hell up, you little bitch.
My game fine. Five.
It'll go you, 4, then Hayden, then me.
3, 2.
Wait, but I'll do the 1, intro.
5. Yes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so guys, what's the game you want to talk about the most? Nick, we'll start with you.
I'll go ahead and start with Patriots Lions in the Sunday night spot.
Boo.
A riveting game to watch the Patriots get beat down again. Their other offensive ineptitude was exposed yet again, because at some point you can't get away with having bums in skill positions.
Yeah. None of the receivers could get open. They had Gronk double team the whole night. It was and Matt Patricia knows the Patriots offense better than anybody else. So
I'll be honest, I saw none of this game, but I was happy to see the final score, and I was very surprised by it. So
I was just as surprised as you. I thought that I thought that the Patriots would do really well this game. Usually after a loss, they're able to rebound, but this game they were just bad on both sides. The offense couldn't get anything going. The defense was destroyed.
Did Stafford play well?
He did what he needed to do. He didn't play great, yeah, but he did what was needed.
So
Matt he actually Stafford, had a running game, so he didn't need to pass the ball all too much.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, Matt Stafford 27 for 36, 262 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick. So,
and that one right pick game, was but it was kind of a heave.
Yeah. All right, game. Let's see. Marvin Jones had 4 for 69 and a touchdown. Golden State 6 for 69. But Kenny Golladay looked really good.
Yeah.
6 for 53, a touchdown, and almost had another impressive touchdown on the, where if I remember correctly, the defense was on him or the corner was on him, and he caught the ball but almost had his heels in.
Yeah, one heel.
He was falling backwards. Yeah, but it was a nice touchdown. But yeah, the Lions played solid. The defense was getting to Brady. Brady was really frustrated. I mean, Brady struggled. 14 for 26, 133 yards, a touchdown and a pick. But
yeah, I saw that, like,
yeah,
ESPN,
they couldn't get anything going.
Like, his, like, second or third least amount of yards that he's thrown in a game since, like, some year. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, look. Let me just... This is, to me, a wording stat. So, out of all the receivers on the Patriots, or out of all the players on the Patriots, the receivers aren't getting many targets.
They're not, because they can't, like, get open.
They can't get open.
Brady's too safe of a quarterback to throw into good coverage.
And the thing is that the pick, which was a throw to Dorsett, the pick at the end of the game was just I can't do anything else. He just heaved it. It was underthrown, and yeah, it was just a frustrating game all around for the Patriots. I do think with Edelman back, they'll be fine. For me, it's just Josh Gordon to me is what either takes this team to.
He's a make or break kind of thing.
Yeah.
But my whole thing with this, like, my big criticism on Matt Stafford, his whole career is, like, sure, he's got an arm and stuff, but they force him to throw 40 times a game, and he ends up throwing a shitload of picks.
Pat Stafford
or fumbles
is the best name you can call him because he gets all of his stats in the fourth quarter when the game's over.
Yeah,
I had never heard that nickname. If you're
I've
a Georgia
it.
Player and you have a bad nickname, I'm down for it.
Okay, it's like if they can keep this, like, you just need to let Matt Stafford get into the red zone, throw his touchdown. Like, don't force him to throw 40 times a game because he can't. Like,
but the thing is that he's never had the running game.
Exactly.
And last night
good.
We saw a running game.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how long it's been, but they went like 3 years. The Lions went like 3 years.
5 years.
But having a 5 years. Thank you. I knew it was, yeah, it was something
Thanksgiving
like that,
2013, Reggie Bush ran for 112.
They went 5 years without a 100-yard rusher. They've never had a good running game. Yeah. Their most consistent running back isn't even that much of a running back. He's more of a receiver.
Theoretic, yeah.
Theo Riddick's been the only like constant in that running with the running back core, but I think what we're also missing out is the fact that LeGarrette Blount had just as many carries as Kerryon Johnson. Just
all his carries came in the red zone. They took Kerryon out into the 20s.
Yeah, but it was an all around good game for Detroit. Right. New England needs to get their stuff together. They play the 3-0
Miami
Dolphins.
Like I said, my bold prediction.
Okay,
the playoffs. Tannehill will take them.
Hey, I still think that the Browns are going to win more games than them.
Hey, the last time the Dolphins went 3-0, they lost straight.
And I made that prediction with Tyrod.
So it doesn't count then.
So Nick, our little bet is going to get a lot more interesting now.
Well, the Dolphins are 4-0. I don't think it will be.
Oh, whatever you say. But yeah, I
don't know. Hopefully
I
for
the Patriots
Lions.
To...
This running situation is stable because for Matt Stafford's sake, he needs a running game.
And Kerryon Johnson's been a good. I mean,
he's a baller. Auburn.
Yeah, he was great at Auburn. If I remember correctly, he was last season. He was the leading rusher in the SEC.
He was.
Yeah, and I think he had more yards per carry than Leonard Fournette. I don't remember. I'm not sure. I remember like reading this, but yeah, he was a great running back, and he's been a great running back. And now that he's getting the opportunity in Detroit, hopefully he'll seize it. And if the Lions can keep a good running game, not have Matt Stafford have to throw 40 passes a game, they'll be fine. And the defense looked solid last night, or Sunday night, so yeah. It what about your game, Hayden?
So my game was a game that actually happened last night, the Monday night game between the Bucks and the Steelers. And going into this game, you know, the Bucks kinda had to, this is like a prove it game for them. If they could win this game, they could show the league in a prime time that they're actually pretty good. Unfortunately, it did not work out for them. Fitzmagic went through a kind of up and down game. He was Fitzmagic at the beginning, then he went Fitztragic with the three picks in the first half, and then he almost led the Bucks back at the end of the game. So, I mean, the Bucks, they might have been a little too antsy about this game. They had the four turnovers, but once they kind of calmed themselves down a little bit and didn't have too much pressure, they actually ended up coming back and almost they had a chance to win the game. The Steelers stopped them, and then when the Steelers got the ball, they ran it out. But I mean, the Bucks, even though they lost, they did impress me though.
They looked impressive.
How they came back into that game, being down 17 in the fourth quarter, like they made the Steelers sweat. And I know, like, the Steelers won the game, so we should be talking about them. But, like, the Steelers aren't really a contender in my eyes without Le'Veon. So I'm not really going to – I'm not excited about the Steelers because they really need Le'Veon for them to be a good team.
They're 1-2 and are –
They're 1-1-1.
Yeah.
1-1-1.
Sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. No, I said... Hey, they tied with Cleveland. It feels like a loss.
They should have lost that
Tyrod
game.
Tyrod Taylor's Cleveland. They should have. Yeah, the offense didn't. The offense has been really good. The defense has been very, very not good. And I don't know how many shootouts Ben is going to be able to win.
Not many.
This year.
Unless they get Le'Veon back.
I don't know.
They're trying to...
With those receivers, he might be able to win a lot of them.
Hold up. So I remember seeing – hold up. So let me pull it up. ESPN had what – I was reading like what Ben Roethlisberger's like what he's on pace for this season, and it's
in terms of what yardage?
It's crazy. So listen to this: he's on pace for 6,080 passing yards.
What is Mahomes? Huh. I mean Mahomes has to be more than that, right? Or has Roethlisberger done better in terms of yardage?
Let me see who the yardage leader is. Because Fitzpatrick was the yardage leader going into last week.
I mean, Big Ben, though, I don't think he can keep it up. Like, it's going to get rough.
Fitzpatrick's still the league leader.
Fitzpatrick is? All right. Fitzmagic, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry.
He's back to Fitzpatrick.
No, he's back to Fitzmagic. He made up for it in the second half, in my opinion.
They didn't win.
Yeah, but I don't think he – but to me, like, Mahomes – Ben and Fitzpatrick will slow down.
Of course.
They're doing stuff at unsustainable rates.
I don't think any of them like, has yet not... to play a good defense. So once they play that good defense, we'll see how good they are.
Yeah, and the when the Buccaneers play a good defense in Chicago this week, so mm-hmm. we'll get to see just how good this offense is.
The Bucs might get destroyed in that game.
Oh no! Let's see. So if I'm, I think the Chiefs play the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
They play the Broncos Sunday night.
That's the Monday night.
Chiefs play the. Is the Monday? Okay, sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Broncos.
Okay.
So
Ben plays the Ravens. Ben plays the Ravens Sunday night. The Buccaneers play the Bears, and the Chiefs play the Broncos. They're all solid defenses in their own ways. But this is the first test. This is their first test for each of those offenses. They haven't played it. Neither quarterback has played anybody. It'll
definitely calm down. Definitely. All right, Johan.
Do you think Jameis has any? I was gonna say, do you think Jameis has any chance of regaining his job this season?
Well,
no.
Okay.
This season, maybe.
It's gonna. Okay, what I've been hearing is they're going to judge it week by week. So Fitzpatrick isn't going to be on the longest leash.
So
I feel like he's definitely
he,
earned
after
the job.
Chicago. Look, after Chicago, he gets a bye in Atlanta and Cleveland. He doesn't really face any competition defensively until week 8, where he goes Cincinnati. Week 8 at Cincinnati. Week 9 at Carolina, and week 10 Washington. That's probably the hardest stretch he has to defensively this year. So there could be a lot
I'll
of
be honest though. Something
big...
I don't know what it is, but because it's the Bucks, something's telling me that Jameis Winston will probably be the starting quarterback in those games. If it,
you
if
think
it's
so?
Any other normal I mean, team, I, it's probably Fitzpatrick, but the Bucks are the Bucks for a reason, so they could very well make that decision to play Jameis.
No, but like I said, I expect we saw last night that Fitzpatrick started to struggle a little. We're gonna see the Fitzpatrick struggle, and I think that maybe Jameis will earn his job just because
Fitzpatrick rebounded.
They're producing unsustainable.
He rebounded
rates.
From the struggle. He could have easily just been bad the whole game, but the second I don't have the second half.
I get that.
Very good.
But let's say he starts off like that. Let's say he starts off like that against Chicago. You think he's going to rebound against that defense?
Probably not. No, but I don't know.
That's my thing. I don't think that they'll rebound against that defense. And they're at Atlanta. And for the Atlanta defense isn't as good as
it's bad.
Had a lot of injuries.
It's bad.
It's not good at home.
They could probably get
it's going to be worse. It's going to be like up there, like worst defenses in the league because of all their injuries.
I think that Jameis just gets the job back. I think that it's going to be Fitzmagic for a few weeks. He's going to just hit a wall at some point, and they're going to go back to Jameis.
I mean, I would agree with you on that.
But for right now, he's on my fantasy team, and I'm going to start him against Chicago.
Nick, you can beat him this week. Hopefully Fitzpatrick will struggle against that defense.
I've got the Chicago defense, so.
Interesting.
Or I could start Andy Dalton.
Yikes.
I'm not going to talk about fantasy because then I give away my strategy.
What strategy? You
know, your strategy.
Defending champ in our league.
All right, so moving on.
You were voted worst commissioner.
Johan, what's your
moving
name?
On. Falcon Saints. It was a shootout throughout the game and
glorious.
It was a good game. We saw a breakout performance by Calvin Ridley. Let me pull up his exact
his
line. 7 for 146,
three touchdowns.
Went off.
Against
stacked
Saints defense. Am I right?
It's a bad. Yeah, it's not.
It's bad.
Look. I thought going into this season, the way they looked last year, they looked so good on defense. I thought that, you know, maybe they could continue. Nah, it's back to this Saints defense is back to its old ways, except this time, or the Saints team is back to its old ways where it's all on Drew Brees, except this time they have a running game. And
they're going to go 8-8. Look, that's what I'm telling you.
And here's the thing. Alvin Kamara, 16 carries, 66 yards. Not a great running game. Or not great on the ground. Solid on the ground, but 15 receptions for 124 yards. He was their leading receiver last on Sunday.
My question is for you, we've talked about three NFC South teams in this, so we might as well talk about the whole division. Are the Falcons done? Do you think they have it in them to rebound with those defensive injuries?
Yeah, I think they'll be fine because their offense is playing well.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, 26 for 35. 374 yards, 5 touchdowns. Same Matt Ryan we saw week 1 has not been there the
you
last
needed
2 weeks.
Defense.
Matt Ryan,
you
the
needed defense to make it to the playoffs.
No. I'm not.
Well, are you saying they're done as in Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, I thought you were like, what are you trying to say
saying,
they're done as?
Because
I think throughout
like,
the season, their schedule is not
in
hard.
In the division.
They don't have,
in,
they don't face
the division.
Anybody. They face the Steelers.
To win the division? They're not done.
They already beat the Panthers.
Yeah.
I think that they could beat they lost the Saints, but I think that they could beat the Saints. I think they could beat the Bucks.
I mean, in terms of like, their record, of course they're not done. They're 1-2. I just don't know how they win.
I'm just telling you, like,
defense like that. Matt Ryan had an insane game. He had the highest ever quarterback rating of a quarterback who lost the game.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. But it's encouraging to see that they're off. They've had a good offense the last 2 weeks. I think that was for the Falcons to be good. They needed their offense to step up because last year they had some struggles. This year it looks like they're They're a lot better in Sarkisian's second year. Their defense has a lot of injuries, but their offense will be able to keep them in games.
I mean, would you say they're the favorite to win the division?
No, but that's because the Panthers are doing well.
I think the Panthers, in terms of, like, of course, the Falcons' injuries and their defense, I think they're the most well-rounded team in the NFC South at this moment.
Yeah, but if one injury to Christian McCaffrey changes everything for the Panthers.
One injury to any team. Okay, Matt Ryan gets hurt. That changes everything for the Falcons. Okay.
But they still have the weapons. They still have the, what I'm saying is that the amount of weapons on the Panthers isn't
It's not as great. I mean, I get that. I mean, the Panthers, they get Greg Olsen back pretty soon though, so he's recovering.
But to me, you're seeing the Falcons' offense open up a little more. So now you have Calvin Ridley this week.
I'm not worried about their offense. Their offense is going to score points. It's their defense that they can hold off. I just don't know how they do that.
By not letting them score.
I mean, look, they don't have to worry much about defense because they're going to get torched. They're playing the Bengals next, and the Bengals have a good offense. The Steelers next. It's all they have is offensive showdowns. In those games, all you need is one stop.
I mean, it's easier said than done.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, it just takes one stop.
I mean, you could...
Okay, but back to the actual game. Back to the actual game. It was a shootout, and we saw Drew Brees continue to just show how...
Defy his height.
Just show how he's just such a great player. 39 for 49.
Hey, I don't care what those Falcons players touchdowns. Said about them being scared to tackle Drew Brees. He still spun around their asses and made him look pretty bad, and that was pretty funny. And of course, Drew Brees had two rushing touchdowns in that game too, which is kind of crazy.
And the nice spin move.
He hit that B button.
I watched that game and I was really happy.
I was happy too. Watching the Falcons is nice.
Yeah, Falcons losses bring Johan joy. So yeah. So basically, our conclusions are that New England's offense will be better. The Lions.
Elman back, I guess.
Hose bias. All right, but Matt Stafford, as long as he has only a running game, will be it. Matt Stafford, as long as he has a solid running game, will be fine. Falcons suck. I think we could all settle on that, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that last statement. And then Fitzmagic is here to stay, except for when the Bucs take him out for Jameis Winston.
And then next year he goes on to play for, like...
the Panthers, because he's better than Cam Newton.
Let's see, who does he play for next year? Baltimore. He'll go to Baltimore and replace Joe Flacco.
He'll go to the Raiders.
They'll trade for him. And they'll give away RG3. Broken pieces for another broken piece. Well, not really broken piece. How many teams has Fitzpatrick been in his 11. Career?
I can think of at least four.
It's not 11. I just thought that I said that.
It's Titans, Bucks, Jets, Bills. Those are the four I know of, but there may be more.
So, all right, well.
Let's wrap it up.
This concludes this segment. All right, guys. Now it's time for us to present our That's a Lot of Player of the Week. Not sponsored by Flex Tape, Flex Seal, or any of the other Flex Tape family products. Or Phil Swift. And Hayden, start off on who your That's a Lot of Damage Player of the Week is this week.
So for me, I'm going to go Cam Newton, and he...
Oh, my God.
Okay, all right.
Biased.
We're all biased, bitch, but if...
I can't wait. I can't can wait I for speak? Your power rankings.
Can I speak? Thank you. Okay, so look at what he does for this team on offense, he had two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. He was literally – he scored every single touchdown for the Panthers. And he – if you watch him play, he's pretty much 90% of the offense. He takes command, and he can turn a 3rd-and-11, which he did during the game, into a first down. And has been doing this whole year. Is
Oh, look at him. He has Sunday ticket.
Wow, a third down conversion to a first down. Never seen that before.
Wow.
Okay, all right. If that's how we're playing, I can't wait till you guys go. But
all right, okay, we'll stop. We'll continue.
Okay, I lost what I was going to say.
15 for 24 at 150 yards. What a ball!
So two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. I mean, you look at Cam's stats, like, they're not going to blow you away. You have to watch him play to see how good he is. And he takes command of the offense, and he does what's needed every drive to score. And I think he had a great game. He looked great. And, I mean, the Bengals defense.
Does he bring his lunch pail to work every week?
Probably. But, yeah, that's my player.
What are you insinuating there?
All right. Oh, enough with your biased pick of Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah, Chris McCaffrey gets a shout-out, too. I have to throw that in there.
Eat him out already. Why don't you?
Oh, my gosh! Hey, none of that on me. What you should at least tell us Christian McCaffrey's stats, Mister. I have NFL Sunday.
I really don't want to hear.
28 carries, 184 yards, and he probably could have had a couple touchdowns, but he got stopped very short. So you know, for anyone that says he can't run in between the tackles, I think this game showed that. God, you guys are bitches. Just wait till you go. You can go next, Johan. I'm letting you go next.
So my player of the week this week is gonna be Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow, what a bold move for that one. Go with what everyone's thinking.
It's not a bold move. I'll say it's not a bold move. 24 for 38, 314 yards, game? 3 touchdowns. Okay. No interceptions.
You're just looking at stats, aren't you?
No interceptions. I don't have Sunday ticket like you do.
Hayden, why are you so
talking?
You
can watch the highlights online.
It's just a friendly podcast.
This is.
John, what play stood out to you the most?
Probably the one where he got chased around, spun around, and threw it, beamed it right into. Let me make sure. Is it Chris Conley's hands?
Are you trying to test Johan on his football knowledge? Is that what that is?
If he wouldn't have known that play, then
I want to make sure it's Chris Conley.
It doesn't matter if it's Chris Conley. It was a great play.
Let's test you. How many Super Bowls have the Panthers won?
He spun out. Yeah, we want to know.
Well, if no one knows, if you're asking me, then they've won 5, so.
I'd know the Panthers. All right,
but back to Patrick Mahomes, guys. Patrick Mahomes, 13 touchdowns throughout the season. He's looked really good, and I mean, that Kansas City offense is lethal. They were out in the lead against the team that had a good offense, too. Like, the 49ers offense, I thought that they were going to do well against Kansas City, but they just...
They lost their quarterback?
I mean, yeah, but that's not the end of the game. What I'm saying is that...
It was the end of the game.
That Kansas City offense is just... Ended that game. Look, and Patrick Mahomes, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions this season. He's doing well. And with his 13 touchdown passes, it breaks the NFL record for touchdown passes in the first 3 weeks, because Peyton Manning threw 12 to start off their Super Bowl losing campaign against the Seahawks in 2013.
Wow. So the Chiefs are going to lose the Super Bowl pretty much.
No, New England's going to beat the Rams.
New England ain't making it. Actually, no, they are, because that's totally the Super Bowl.
But yeah, Patrick Mahomes, my that's a lot of damage player of the week. What about you, Nick?
Kerryon Johnson of the Detroit Lions.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
First 100-yard rusher.
He only ran for 101 yards.
And why hasn't it been done since 2013?
You need to go back to your Baker Mayfield one. This is bad.
No, yeah, okay. No. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because he played well. But for me, I think just the issue is that If you're gonna mention Kerryon Johnson, let's just
Camden had more rushing touchdowns. Blunt
with 16 for 48 on rushes, that got the same amount of carries as Kerryon, and didn't do as well. I mean, look, if you're gonna talk about having or being a 100-yard rusher, the first one, we should at least mention the other running backs that the Lions have had in recent years.
Reggie Bush, Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah, Reggie Bush, Javid Best, all of them.
Can Joik Bell be included in this?
Yes.
I want to look up a list of
the Detroit Lions graveyard running backs.
Nick, I don't know why you'd go with Kerryon Johnson over like,
because he did us the favor Christian of being McCaffrey. A Patriot.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't pick a Panthers player like you.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey had an overall better game. Like,
oh, okay. So here's an interesting stat.
Is it the...
that the Lions have only had, let's see, 80-yard rushing. They've only had two running backs reach 80 yards rushing since 2014. That was Joik Bell.
Stop saying that. 5
yards in week 11 of 2014. Joik Bell, 91 yards week 13 of 2014. Joik Bell, 83 yards week 14, 2014. Amir Abdullah, 86 yards week 2, 2017. And Amir Abdullah, 94 yards week 4 of 2017. So,
oh, hey, yeah. Hold up. Don't forget about Zach Zenner from 2 years ago.
I forgot about him. They've had so many running backs. They've had so many running backs, and none of them could. I picked them up in fantasy. I remember that.
Is that the year you like won 2 games?
But
oof,
big oof. We don't speak because PPR is the way to go, and we played standard. But in the span of 619 games that Detroit went without getting a 100-yard rusher, there were 14 runs that gained 80 yards or more.
They're one of the worst sports franchises in freaking America.
Still beat the Patriots. Good job, Kerryon Johnson. You've done the nation a favor.
I don't know.
Everybody applaud for Kerryon Johnson.
I'll applaud because, you know, it makes Shohan salty, so that's fine with me.
He lost to a team that's won 3 playoff games since 1957. How does it feel?
I think that's his answer.
Yo, guys, the podcast stopped working for me. What I missed?
Oh, sure it did. You missed the tragic defeat of the Patriots.
I was going to make an ice joke, but I withheld it.
Wow! Wow! There was no need for that.
Oh, gosh.
I'm hurt.
This is a saucy segment.
This podcast needs the sauciness.
All right. So, team of the week.
If it's not
now
if
on the Bills, the Bills.
You have no credibility.
Round of applause.
Wait,
to
what'd
the Bills.
You say? No, hold up. I didn't hear what he said. What about credibility, huh, Mr. Panthers bias?
Are you kidding me? You and your Patriots bias?
What were you? No, hey. Don't make this about me.
If you're making this about
I'm
me,
not
I'm making
the
this
one
about
the
you.
Wrong here.
You're the team. You both picked your teams doing the Super Bowl. At least I didn't.
I did not. I picked this. I said Steelers.
Oh, look where that got
that
you.
Prediction's bit going down the drain. That prediction's going down.
Christ,
the drain.
Right, it's gonna be a 150 Super Bowl.
All right. Hayden, what'd you say about credibility?
If you didn't pick the Bills, then you're not credible.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't pick because we need variety.
Everybody applaud for the Bills. Applaud.
Woo!
Giving the evil Minnesota Vikings a loss at home. Great.
A nice little booty whooping. But yeah, team of the week. Shlonging. I guess, yeah. You guys just want to give a consensus team of the week to the
Bills.
I mean, yeah, the Bills.
I'm down with it.
Going through all the tables you want.
Honorable mention, though. Honorable mention to the Cleveland
Browns. To the Detroit Lions. We'll good job, Detroit.
Yeah, the fact
But yes,
the Bills
consensus
upstaged the
consensus.
Browns a little bit with their win. Kind of crazy. But yeah, the Browns do deserve a shot. Alrighty, so after a 1 week hiatus, the official NFL power rankings are back. You don't need to go to ESPN or Bleacher Report. Yeah, it is official. I paid for it. So, here, are you guys ready? Because I don't think you're ready. I'm be honest. This list is tough to make.
That's ready for some. I'm whack bias. Right.
So go from 5 to 1. So let's go from 5 to 1.
All
right,
right? We'll go to 5 to 1. No, hold on. But I do have to say something.
5 is the Panthers.
4.
All right.
5 is the
Panthers. No, hold on. Before we get started, I do have to say this is pretty tough for me to do because I don't really see too many teams that stand out as being great through the first few weeks. I think many teams have their flaws.
I mean, no, this season has been kind of a mess, for being honest.
It has been.
It's been a crazy 3 weeks.
So, I mean, if you want, we can go ahead and start at 5. And I know the bias bells, if that's a thing, are going to start ringing.
Ah, no!
The Panthers are not one of the 5 best teams
in the
NFL.
Go.
No, okay.
All right, go. Panthers at 5.
The Panthers at 5, my arguments for them, they have a solid defense, and the offense is much improved over last year. And Cam Newton even looks way better than what he did last year through the first few games. He's being a little more cautious.
Cam Newton hasn't had that regression that he usually has after a big year.
So. Yeah, them being 2-1, I don't really – I know you guys are going to say I'm biased, but, I don't really see a team – who else do you put there? The Saints? They were kind of borderline. I don't know. I think their defense is going to hold them back.
Yeah.
The Jags.
No, look,
the Titans. They only scored,
6-9.
Yeah, exactly. So,
they always struggle with the Titans. That's the whole thing. They always struggle with them.
Okay, but they scored 6 points against the Titans.
Yeah, they always struggle with the Titans. It's a thing.
So
the Patriots always struggle with the Dolphins.
They get a pass.
Thing that exists.
For the crap I give you about your – for the crap I give you for your Panthers pick, I agree. You have Christian McCaffrey looking good between the tackles against what's usually the Bengals have a good D-line.
Panthers' offensive line is pretty bad, so the fact he's able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're looking good. They've been consistent the last – I guess you could say that they're one of the more consistent teams the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. So, if you guys want, we can move on to number 4. Which is Johan's favorite team, the New England Patriots. And I know.
Hello?
Really?
Yes.
Nah, I can't give them that luxury of
hold on.
What happened to them on Sunday, it was nothing short of embarrassing.
Can I give my reasoning
before you roast me? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This happens every year. Yes. Everyone freaks out about the Patriots losing games in September, but that's historically Bill Belichick's worst month because they kind of experiment with things a little bit, they test the waters. I mean, we were having this conversation last year, the Patriots done. And look, they made it to the Super Bowl. So I don't think there's any real reason for concern. And, I mean, they'll get Edelman back, which will help their receiving core. I mean, I don't see a real issue for them in the future.
And depending on if Josh Gordon's a hit or miss, we could see their offense. Yeah, I'm worried because I don't want the Dolphins to have that big of a lead. In the division, I think we'll make it up, but
they better be able to win 3 games back.
Like I said, who
now,
are you putting
now,
in there?
Now, we did
over
it.
The Patriots, the Jack, the Dolphins haven't beaten anyone, and they're gonna start losing a lot of games. If the Dolphins beat the Patriots,
the
0-3
Oakland Raiders
next week, okay? I'll give
you
that.
All right, expecting to be on there. Act like I don't know what I'm talking about when I say the Dolphins are good.
I still don't think they're good. I still don't think they're good. They wouldn't be in my top 10. So.
Hold on. I just want to check something. Give me a second. I'm sorry. It's taking me a second. Let's see. Dolphins, Titans. No. The Titans week 1.
Gross.
Beat the Titans week 1 in a game where it was disgusting because it took them 7 hours to complete the game. Week 2 against the Jets. And week 3 against the Raiders, I agree with Hayden on this. They're fairly untested.
Hey, it sounds like 3-0 to me.
But
it sounds like they're about to lose a bunch of games when they play good teams.
They can only beat who they play. So,
all right, and they're gonna lose to
you. Play to win the game.
Lose
you play to win the game.
Good.
All right, Hayden, let's what's your third?
Anyway,
what's,
hold up. That means they're not losing the Patriots. The Patriots aren't that good. So.
Wow.
Okay, the third.
Moving on from this Patriots.
So the third, you guys might think this is too low, but they're definitely a top five team. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, Mahomes.
You think that they're a top five team?
As of now, why would they not be?
I'm just saying that I think that they're playing at extremely high levels against teams that aren't exactly well balanced.
Who am I going to put ahead of them, though, Johan? This is why I was telling you.
The first look,
not off what could happen.
Yeah, we're ranking. Only 3 weeks in. It's been crazy.
It's a mix of both. It combines both, but I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he has a 137.4 QB rating for the whole year, which I think that's really freaking good. I don't know what the high is. I think it's like 140 something.
I will look it up.
But correct, yeah, 137.
He has a 137 passer rating. QB rating only goes to 100.
Yeah. I'll check up the highest passer.
Someone lied to me when I looked that up. But okay, you guys know what I'm talking about. And then, of course, their offense is averaging 39.3 points a game, which is pretty great. Even against weak opponents.
The highest passer rating is 158.3.4, but on average. Oh, I'm sorry.
But I mean, okay, nonetheless, what I have here is I think their defense, if they actually want to be a legit Super Bowl contender, is going to have to step up because they've been winning these games in thrilling fashion, getting a bunch of points, but like, you're going to need your defense to step up when your offense and when Mahomes isn't doing
good. Aaron Rodgers, 103.8 passer rating. Average, career average.
Yeah, highest in NFL history.
Okay, that was very random, but okay.
It's
just I wanted to make sure that everybody knew how good his performance was. Okay, number two.
Okay, so the Eagles have been dethroned, and it's not the Eagles are bad, but putting them at two because, I mean, you guys obviously now have the Rams at one because of this. But I think two is a pretty good spot for them. I think they are the second best team in the NFL right now. And
Carson Wentz is back,
and that's going to improve them tremendously, improve their offense. And their defense isn't terrible. They're going to have to step up a little bit. But I think with Wentz being back, they're definitely probably a – They're definitely one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
Yeah, he came back at a perfect time with the Colts game. It's not exactly the toughest defense, but I think that Jay Ajayi, you know, the injury, and then Alshon Jeffrey, once they return, they'll be a very strong team, but they still have a lot of playmakers. Dallas Goedert, their like second string tight end, 7 for 73 and a touchdown. Man. So they have weapons.
Their MVP's back too. So or he at least would have won last year. Nick, is there anything?
No, he should have won.
But do you agree? Disagree?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. So I did mention
the Rams number one.
The Rams number one, and I mean, how could you not put the Rams at number one? They're third in points scored on offense. Their defense is first in points against. So they have both of that going for them. Aqib Talib, I believe.
And Marcus Peters are both injured.
They're both injured, so that could be a blow. I don't know how long they're going to be out.
And it'll affect a certain matchup.
This power ranking is assuming they're both going to not be out long term. But
that defense is still extremely talented.
With Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue. And Goff is actually looking pretty decent. He had a great game last week.
Goff?
His QB, I guess what? His passer rating, so I don't get that wrong, is 111 for the season. So, I mean, that's pretty good. He has 6 touchdowns and 2 picks. So, he hasn't been looking bad. And I don't think he's really a weakness for their team anymore.
Yeah.
Jared Goff this season, 313.7 yards per game, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks.
That's all right.
So
he doesn't need to kill
he's,
him
he's
the
playing
air.
Well.
He's like Todd Gurley.
Yeah, it's they're on offense. They're extremely balanced. They can go and I mean they're Cooper Kupp, it's been Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Robert Woods. All three solid receivers. They're just, man, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, and I mean, the only thing that's really going to set them back at this point is those two injuries.
It's just those two injuries, yeah. All right, so Hayden, just tell us your power rankings just once more.
Okay, number one, Rams. Number two, Eagles. Three, Chiefs. Four, Patriots. And five is the Panthers.
Bias.
Boo! All right. One. All right, so picks and pick 'em time. We will look at all the games and just quickly give our thoughts and predict who we think will win. Nick had to step away, so me and Hayden. Oh, man. So Vikings-Rams, you said Vikings would win, and I said Rams would win.
Yes, and of course the Rams being a 6.5-point favorite, and they're at home as well. That should be pointed out. I mean, we said what we need to say on that game. Up next would be the Falcons, who are favored by 5.5 over the Bengals. Falcons are at home. This is an interesting one for me. The line obviously is a little high in my opinion. I think the Bengals just straight up win this. The Falcons defense isn't really impressing me, of course, with all those injuries. The Bengals looked pretty good last week against the Panthers, minus the turnovers. But if they can keep that in check, I think the Bengals win the game.
Yeah, I think the Bengals can win this game too. I think it'll just fall on can the Bengals defense slow down the Falcons offense, an improving Falcons offense that has looked really good the last few weeks.
And slow down Matt Ryan. The Bengals, or are you going with?
I'm going Bengals.
On that. All right. Up next we can go Packers and Bills. Packers are favored by 10.5. I don't think we have any disagreements on who's going to win this game, unless you think there's
a Packer. No. I expect the Packers to win this game at home at Lambeau. I will take the Packers in that game.
Too, so we can move on from that. Up next, this is an interesting game. Bears versus Bucks. The Bears are at home as a 2.5-point favorite. This one's interesting. I'll let you go first as I think this through.
So my thought process in this game is that this is the first time that the Buccaneers will face a competent defense. We agree with that, yeah. Right? Okay. So to me, so here's the thing, right? Bears or Tampa Bay first in yards per game, Chicago 26th. But Chicago is fifth in total yards on defense, and the Bucks are 31st. So it's a tale of it. Both are opposites. I think that the Bears frustrate Fitzpatrick at a worse than the Steelers. I don't think he's going to throw through picks, but I do think that the Buccaneers lose this one. I think that the Bears are able to slow down the Buccaneers offense, and that Buccaneers defense isn't that great. I think that Mitch Trubisky will be able to put up some numbers. And I think that Allen Robinson could have a big game, maybe Anthony Miller. And I just think that, so I'm going to go with I think the Bears win. What's the line for this game?
The Bears are
at home. So
favored by 2.5. 2.5, yeah. I think it's a fair
spread. I'll take, but I think the Bears
I think you're right
game.
Too, but it's just, it all depends on Trubisky. The Bears, like their defense is great, but Trubisky has let them down in a decent bit of their game.
But this defense is I think they're good enough to allow Trubisky to not have too much pressure, not be too worried. I think that this could be not a low scoring game, but I think that the Bears will be able to put up some points against a very weak Buccaneers
it's
defense.
It's kind of crazy, unless of course they tie. One of those teams will be 3-1. So the Bucs of Bears, one will be 3-1. All right, move on. If you're ready, we can do the Dallas Cowboys, who are at home as a 2.5-point favorite over the Detroit Lions. This one,
yeah, I'm taking the Lions. That's Lions for me. The Cowboys' offense has just been putrid.
The Cowboys' defense is pretty decent, though. I think that's the one of the things that's been underrated about them.
Yeah, but I think that Matt Stafford can move the ball against this team. And if the rushing game, if the running game continues to improve, though, I think that they can. It's just to me, man. I think that the Patriots offense is better than the Cowboys offense for sure, because they have Tom Brady, and the Cowboys probably have more receivers than the Patriots have on their team. I'm just worried, man, because like Dak Prescott, right? 498 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He has not looked good this season. That offense has not been good. Their O-line has struggled. Zeke has been their only good player. And, I mean, against Detroit, I think Zeke will be fine. But for me, it's just Dak Prescott he doesn't have anybody to throw to. I think it'll affect them. And I think that Detroit will win this game.
I'm be honest, I think you convinced me into it. I would agree with you on the Lions winning that game.
And America, hey, at 1 o'clock Sunday, be there for America's Game of the Week, Lions Cowboys, presented by Fox with Joe Buck and Joe Theismann. It's Joe Theismann, right?
Troy Aikman.
Yeah, in the booth. Or Troy Aikman. I thought it was Joe Theismann. I don't know why, because we talked about Theismann earlier. But Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman looking like he just had some straight doinks before the game. And Joe Buck being Joe Buck.
All right, so we spent plenty of time on that, so we'll move on. The next one is the Tennessee Titans playing at home as a 3.5-point underdog to the Philadelphia Eagles.
And I think the Eagles will.
I think even they'll cover, and they'll beat them by probably more than 4 points. So I think there's much need to be said about that game. This next game, though. With the Houston, or the Texans Colts. Indianapolis is favored by 0.5 point at home against the Texans. I don't know about this one.
The Colts defense has not been as bad as they usually are, though. Even though for all the crap I give them for being horrible, they're not as bad as they usually are.
Of course, the Texans are letting me down with my predictions.
But their offense is horrible. So, look, both have been mid-tier defenses. Houston 18th in total yards, Indy 16th in total yards. But the Indianapolis offense is usually pretty solid. All Andrew Luck, let's not lie. They haven't had a running game in a long time, but they're 23rd in passing yards. Andrew Luck's not the same player, and I want to say it was for a Hail Mary 2 weeks ago. But I recently read something where they put in Jacoby Brissett for a Hail Mary, and that's a worrying sign. Andrew Luck is looking like a shell of himself. It's just sad what's happened, but, you know, that offense is not good, and I think that Houston will put up points. I think Houston wins this game.
Houston wins,
and goes 1-3.
I have the Texans, of course, being the one seed, so they have to win this to do that. So if I go against them, I feel like they would actually win, but I'm still going to stick with them. I think they rebound, and Deshaun Watson has a good game. So we can move on to the Patriots, 6.5-point favorites over the Dolphins. This game's pretty interesting with the Dolphins being 3-0. We both agree they haven't played anyone good, so if they win this game, that would prove something.
I still take the Patriots in this game. As undermanned as they are, I think that we finally get to see Josh Gordon, and he's very talented.
I think this game's going to be a blowout.
Look, two games on the road has been frustrating. It's the perfect time to get back home in front of the home fans. And I just think that New England will be able to figure it out.
They're not going
to
fall to 1-3. No way. So I would agree with you on that. I think they win.
I'm not going to say no way.
If they fall to 1-3, we're kicking Nick out of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right.
Moving on. We have the Jags as 7.5-point favorites over the Jets now.
I'm taking the Jags. I'll even take that 7.5
points. Really? I don't know. I don't think the Jags can score enough to get the 7.5 points. It doesn't seem like their offense is
good. At home, At home, hey, Bortles has shown...
They scored 6 points against the Bortles Titans.
But against New England, they put up a lot more, and I don't know if this Jets defense is that great.
In terms of, okay, picking the game outright, I'm going to say the Jags, but if anyone's interested in the spread, I'd say the Jets cover in that game. So,
what is it? Did you say 6.5-point favorites? 7.5. I'll take that. I'll still take the Jags winning that.
All right, so we can move on to this game's pretty interesting too. It's the Raiders at home. They're actually 2.5-point favorites over the Browns.
Dilly dilly, I'm taking the Browns.
I am too. I mean, of course, if we're taking the Browns,
The Browns offense looks so
and
different.
And the Raiders look. I mean, they don't look bad, but I mean.
Derek Carr hasn't been bad, but at the same time, you expect the playmaker like Amari Cooper to put up more than like
Derek
two
Carr
receptions,
was,
18
he was
yards,
bad,
I think.
Against the Rams, though, in that second half, though. He had that one pick where he just threw it straight to the defender.
Yeah, and the Browns' defense isn't bad. So the Browns' offense to me is going to be interesting. The Raiders' defense isn't that great. John Gruden's right. There's a lack of pass rushers in the league. I don't know where you can find good pass rushers, man. It's a struggle. Mm-hmm. I get what he's saying.
And, I mean, I think
you know,
the Browns might even
– Imagine, listen to this. Imagine the Raiders with a dominant pass rusher.
Their record might be flipped.
Imagine them. It's. I don't think – have they had a dominant pass rusher in years, Hayden? I don't think they have.
I can't remember.
I can't think of one.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I'm gonna take the Browns on this. What's the spread?
2.5 points. Oakland's favored by
2.5 points.
And I mean, the Browns are gonna win, and John Gruden's gonna fall to 0-4 as the head coach. So we can move on with that one. And
it was a huge contract.
Yeah. And now,
can I just say that Jordy Nelson is at the age of 33 is the leading receiver for the Oakland Raiders. not something
Amari
I expected.
Cooper, where you at?
So
apparently nowhere. Yeah. Okay, but I think we should move on to the Cardinals and Seahawks game. Yeah. The Cardinals at home and they're 3.5-point underdog. This game's a little tricky. I guess actually not.
I think
Seattle's gonna win.
No, I think it's tricky because we don't know what to expect out of Rosen yet. We haven't seen Rosen play this year, but the Cardinals need something on offense because that offense is brutal.
So, I mean,
I don't know if the solution will be Josh Rosen, but what I can tell you is that Russell Wilson will be fine this game. I think the Seahawks win this game.
So next is actually the national game in the 425 spot. And it is the Giants and Saints. The Giants are at home as a 3.5-point underdog to the Saints. This game, I mean, as much as I want to say the Giants can win the game, they're too bad in so many spots. Like, of course, they have the skilled players, but their offensive line is just completely terrible. And, I mean, the Saints, I mean, their defense is bad. I think it might be this game could also be a shootout. But I see the Saints. Winning this game.
Both defenses aren't great. To me, it just depends on how Eli plays. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley, you know he's going to be fine. Odell will find a way to get his, but Evan Ingram's out, so that can maybe affect the offense a little bit. Sterling Shepard's there, but nobody's been able to stop Alvin Kamara. I don't think it'll. Nobody's going to stop him, and I think the Saints win this game.
And I would agree with you on that. We go ahead and move on to the 49ers and Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 10.5. Of course, that line is so high because Garoppolo being out. Chargers also at home. I don't think there's any real reason to debate this. We both have the Chargers, right?
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers. Their defense is going to hold that offense very well. Bethard's going to struggle. I think that the Chargers win that game.
And so the Sunday night game is between the Steelers, who are 3.5-point favorites, over the Ravens. It's actually a big game for both teams. The Steelers, I mean, they want to get consecutive wins going after beating the Bucs. And the Ravens, I mean, course, it's a rivalry for them too, so they also want to beat the Steelers.
With what we think is going to happen, if they lose this game, they're one. Well, if they lose this game, the Ravens go to 3-1. I think they lead. They're going to be tied in the division with. No, they'll be second because they lost to the Bengals. And then they'll be fourth in the division if they lose this game, saying that the Browns beat the Raiders. But yeah, it won't be. They this is a must win for them.
We could actually see a pretty competitive division here, which we wouldn't have thought. So it could be interesting down the stretch.
This is the best defense that the Ravens, that the Steelers have played so far.
Yep, definitely.
But it's Ben at home. Ben finds a way to put up points. But I want to give this to the Steelers so badly. I want to, but something is telling me that I think the Ravens will pull this out. I think that John Brown will probably have a deep touchdown in this game. I think that Joe Flacco against this not very good passing defense will be able to put up solid numbers, and I want to go with the Ravens in this game.
I'm gonna agree with you on that one. I think the Steelers are gonna struggle, of course, without Bell being there, and I think James Conner's gonna have probably gonna hit the wall. He's been doing pretty good the past few games, so I think he'll get stuffed up this game.
Yeah. Do you think it's gonna be high scoring?
No, not at all.
I'd probably, if I had to give a score for this game, I'd probably say each team scores mid-20s. I'd probably go 24-21, maybe.
I could see it being lower than that.
You think?
I could see a team scoring in the teens for this, maybe like a 17, like 20, 17, 21, something like that.
No, this could be, this has the potential of being an ugly game if the Ravens can get to Ben often, but, I'm not going to count them out. I just think that the Ravens against this offense they're going to be able to put up good numbers, and I think the Steelers will be trying to play catch up the whole game, or most of the game.
All right, and so finally we can get to the Monday night game, which is the Denver Broncos at home as a 5.5-point underdog to the Kansas City Chiefs. This game, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is finally going up against a somewhat decent defense. I mean, this isn't the Broncos defense of 2015 or even 2016. But
Broncos defense ranked 14th in the league.
Exactly. I mean, it'll be better than what he has faced. It'll be a Monday night game, so he gets to prove himself on the national stage. I don't think the Chiefs have had a national game yet.
Here's something interesting. The Broncos have allowed this 22nd most – or are 22nd in passing yards.
Wow,
so
interesting.
They do allow a lot of – they do allow a good amount of passing yards, and that's where the Chiefs will do a lot of damage.
Yeah, and, I mean, if Mahomes goes off again, I mean, hell, he'd probably be an MVP consideration if he's not already.
Yeah. For Denver – it's just going to be I don't think Case Keenum will be able to keep up with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Chiefs on this one.
The Chiefs win. As for the the points, I don't know. 5.5 is a decent bit, but I would still say the Chiefs can win by more than 5.5.
Yeah. So what's your predicted score?
Predicted score for this game? Probably 34-20. Chiefs,
which is really close to mine. You're technically 2 points off. I was gonna say 35-21.
All right, so I mean, pretty much in agreement on that one.
So yeah, well, Hayden, good luck on your picks. Okay. Actually,
so,
not good
so
luck.
So basically, anyone well, who's actually, watching good luck this, if we agreed, home. You should go the opposite way.
Listening
because,
to
we both suck.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna go through. I pick Rams, Bengals, Packers, Bears, Lions, Eagles, Texans, Pats, Jags, Browns, Seahawks, Saints, Chargers, Ravens, Chiefs for this week.
Right, and then I have the Vikings, the Bengals, the Packers, the Bears, the Lions, the Eagles. I think we agreed on most of these. The Texans.
This was not a good week.
Patriots, Jags.
This is a pretty chalk week, if we're being honest.
Did we disagree on any of them? We did not.
I don't think we disagreed on any. I think that Yeah, this week is just because we were discussing our picks for game of the week. I mean, other than Vikings Rams, we couldn't find any other matchup that really, like, for me, my other intriguing matchup was probably going to be Steelers Ravens, just because of where both are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, there wasn't really any game for me that was outright like hard to decide between other than Vikings and Rams. So.
All right. Well, with that, we can wrap up the podcast for the week.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this week's podcast.
Adios.